This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jerry Jones today was on the Ben and Skin Show, and that is always a pleasure. There's so much to get into with him. I mean, I don't even know where to start, but I think what I'd kind of like to do is start with the funny stuff here, if you don't mind. Here's cut number 10. We were talking about how Dak Prescott wore boots into the locker room yesterday, and there was a neat story about that. Chris Jones gave them to him? Is that kind of what happened?
That's what I had seen, and he was wearing them with shorts, right?
Yeah, because it was probably a pretty cool thing to do. Like, he didn't get dressed and say, I'm going to go wear shorts and boots, but he thought, hey, somebody gave me some boots as a gift.
Right.
I'm going to show him some love and put them on.
Yeah, I wear those Pepsi cowboy boots with shorts.
Yeah, and we do have the... God, we need to auction those off.
Yeah. So apparently, the story said that they were on the flight home, and Prescott and Chris Jones get into a conversation about shoes on the flight back from Washington. So apparently Chris was like, you got cowboy boots? And Dak's like, no. And then Chris shows up this week in the locker room with some cowboy boots.
God, that is awesome.
So give me your size.
And that's incredible, too, because even Dak talks to special teamers. He's just
like us.
He'll
talk to anybody. Yeah. He'll talk to anybody, even Chris Jones. Now, what do you do for the team again? So we asked Jerry Jones, hey, what is your strategy when it comes to wearing boots?
Well, I did notice that Dak had a new pair of boots, and I thought that was a great story that went with it. But years ago, I had boots that I had before I bought the Cowboys, and I love to wear them. And they're pretty stylish, too. And I've always kept my boots. And when I first got to town 30 years ago, almost every time I'd speak, well, I'd get presented with a pair of boots. And many of them were really done in a neat way. They'd have a special feature on them that had something to do with the Cowboys. So over the years, I've accumulated a fabulous collection. I don't think I could start wearing cowboy boots almost by the day, and I believe I'd be June before I wore the same boot twice.
So I do imagine, I bet he's got a boot closet. Just one whole closet devoted to boots.
I still think my Boot Barn song. Is Boot Barn still a thing?
I hope so.
I don't know, man.
I assume so.
I'm more of a Luke Casey guy.
All right. I go there sometimes just to hang out.
Yeah. If you're a Boot Barn, text in 877-881-1053 on the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text.
I thought you followed up with one of the greatest interview questions of all times. Time? Mm-hmm. When you asked Jerry.
Timing?
Have you ever been jealous of another man's boots? Mm.
Of course. Of course. I'm asking people all the time, where did you get those boots? Who made those? Or how did you? And it makes me feel good. I'm asked where I got the boots that I have on. And I'm a big cowboy boot fan. I wear them with dress clothes. I wear them every way you can think of.
It really is amazing. It doesn't even matter what your background is and what your accent is and what, you know, where you grew up. Shoes, boots, footwear is such a great conversation starter for so many people. You know, so many people care more about what's on their feet than any other part of their body, any other part of their clothes. And there are so many great stories that come from someone noticing someone's kicks or boots, or obviously women. There's a lot of women that are way into shoes. I mean, hell, that was one of the running jokes of Sex and the City, was the addiction to buying shoes. That's a big thing for people, and it can really draw people together.
You know, I just bought my first pair of boots, I guess about 4 years ago, and I had no idea that people would always go, oh man, they're so comfortable. They're more comfortable than tennis shoes. I'm like, what on earth are you talking? They got a hard heel on them. How can they be more comfortable? But if you get the right pair of boots, a nice pair, like maybe those Lucchese boots, I think they're pretty pricey.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think all your boots would be Lucchese boots unless you were like high rolling like Jerry.
Right.
But, you know, they are incredibly comfortable. I was surprised.
Yeah. By the way, there's a lot of people asking, you were saying Boot Barn or Butt Barn?
Boot Barn.
Yeah. Okay.
The song is, and I don't know why they haven't used this. No one's reached out to me. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Heading on down to the boot barn to buy my boots.
Bom, bom, bom.
Heading on down to the boot barn to buy my boots.
Bom, bom, bom.
Heading on down to the boot barn. I'm going to go buy me some boots.
Woo!
Heading on down to the boot barn. I'm going to go buy me some boots.
I mean, right?
Yeah, it's jamming,
I
think bro. That's,
I like the booty boot barn.
I mean, barn, absolutely. So we had to ask Jerry about Taco. This is cut number 4. Where did you guys miss? Because clearly it's a bust, it's a miss. Where did you guys miss on your evaluation of Taco?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. It's a miss. And you can't have your number one draft pick, but 3 years later, for talent reasons or for compatibility reasons, just not make it. I think we've always got to realize that the motivation, we depend on motivation. The game does. The game's exciting because it requires something more than just talent. You've got to be unique to even play in the NFL, talent standpoint, but still, it requires a really extended motivation. When you're in the defensive line, it asks for more of you than the other positions in terms of being motivated, in terms of fighting through just the nature of the activity in the defensive line suggests fighting through. But you're usually fighting through pain. You're fighting through really serious obstacles called those big offensive linemen. And so that you've got to absolutely be eating raw meat to be a defensive lineman in my mind. And you get there a lot of different ways. Individuals do it a lot of different ways, but for whatever the reason, that area of Taco, and it had as much to do with his own disappointment, his own feeling that he can do better. I've seen him do a rep at practice, saw it this year, training camp, and when he didn't get there, he just wilted. It just looked like it impacted everything that he was going to do for the rest of the practice. And you say, well, I can correct that if you're a coach, or I can correct that if you're a manager. But on the other hand, you've got to get it done. Well, how that is done, how he deals with that, that can be in the future. Tom Landry used to say, don't ever give up on a defensive lineman for 3 years.
Okay, so wilted is a very strong word because you immediately think of what a plant does when a plant's dying, all right, what that plant looks like. And one of the phrases that we heard over and over and over again about Taco over the last year or so was body language.
Negative energy.
If you are describing the way a person is carrying themselves and you are using the word wilted, that is very descriptive. And he's not being mean-spirited or anything like that. He's just saying Taco did not have the mental toughness to do what we needed him to do. And he also sort of implied that it worked against himself. Like he got too down on himself and had high expectations and didn't achieve them and then didn't react properly. Hopefully for Taco, he can learn from all this and reach his potential. But, you know, if you don't have the right attitude or you don't take disappointment in the right fashion, you're not going to get to where you want to go.
I feel like this was Marinelli's pick and Marinelli wore it. I think Marinelli was, and maybe I'm wrong, but you know, we had somebody reach out to us that said, hey, be careful about hanging this on Will McClay's tab. You know, don't put this on Will McClay's tab because Will McClay, you know, he'll fall on the sword and say, hey, yeah, it was me. I'm in charge. But it really feels like it was Marinelli's guy, and Marinelli is probably upset that they didn't evaluate this, because how do you evaluate if a guy's going to be a quitter or not?
There's no way of knowing that. You can have all the pre-draft meetings you want.
Well,
you just don't know. You know, real quick on wilted, I would just at training camp, what I would see him get beaten one-on-one drills, it was just full-on frustration, and it would be the only guy who would get beaten a one-on-one rep, pass rush rep, and he'd go, oh! It's like, okay, dude, it's just one rep. You're fine. You're third string now, but you're fine.
You know, what's interesting what you just said, too, is Tristan Hill did have the quitter tag hanging on him because of what happened at his college. And then the coach left and went to Nebraska. Well, the Cowboys did their due diligence, and his previous coach contradicted what his current coach said.
Yeah.
And that gave them the confidence to go, okay, he's handling his disappointment a little bit better. Because that taco thing, by the time they drafted Tristan Hill, they knew all about the taco thing.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they then drafted a guy that had been in a situation where he, for lack of a better term, wilted, and they knew exactly why.
Right.
That actually makes me think that Tristan Hill's going to work.
He may have wilted, but it was some other doucher that caused the wilting.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of placing blame on the wilt. Okay, so here's cut number five, because I think this is a good follow-up to that. Okay, so how do you scout the personality of a player and his ability to deal with failure?
If they're lined up in those spots, that's a given that they're going to just be, from a mental standpoint, and they approach it different ways, but that they're going to be mentally driven, going to be goal-oriented. And they get a lot of wins out of simply having a technique work for them, and they can get kept away from the quarterback, but they can still have a win. You got to work mind games to do that, and maybe Taco will get there someday.
Basically say, if I get double teamed and I take two guys and the linebacker is able to go make a play, that's a win. It's not a stat. Mm-hmm. And I think you start looking at Taco, maybe he's looking at sacks. Maybe he's looking at things like that. Maybe he's looking at just purely snaps and playing time. You know,
I can't go get past the really weird moment where after a good preseason game where he started and contributed, he said he takes all of his motivation from his agent.
Yeah.
What a weird thing to go tell everybody.
He wanted out, and he was doing mop-up duty, and he didn't appreciate being out there. He thought more highly of himself than being a mop-up duty guy, and it was over at that point. It was just a matter of finding if any team would want him. No team wanted to trade for him, and shockingly, we're hearing that Miami, who did claim him, is the only team in the league who put in a claim.
Taco was a good player at Michigan, but he wasn't some star. Mm-hmm. You know, he was just a guy who – you looked at him and went, okay, the length is good here. You see, get a little technique, a little spin move there. I think got a little something we can mold into a good player. And if he's not going to do a lot of those things that they've asked him to do when it comes to molding into a better player and improving and not doing those things, then you're gone. And I'm way different situation, way different, because this guy has experienced success. But it's kind of a little bit of Rugi. And I don't think Rugi's gotten down on himself too much. I could be wrong on that. But it kind of reminds me of Rugi a little bit. They're asking him to do a bunch of things. They need you to do those things. And I don't know if Taco was doing all the things they were asking. I think Taco was getting in his own head, and he was listening to the media, and he's listening to Bassick trash him at his first training camp.
Right.
And he was listening to all that, and you can't do that.
Right. It's interesting, too, because Bassick knows how difficult all that can be, man.
Yeah.
He more than any of us. All right, so Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll get the latest on Cowboys injuries from Mickey. And then I got what I think is an awesome college sports mascot story for you. That's next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, I'm just going to go ahead and say that those Jerry clips that we were just listening to was brought to you by Ford, the best in Texas.
Yeah.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll talk to Brian Broaddus of DallasCowboys.com. It's always good to talk to him right before a game. And it's always good to bring on another guy from DallasCowboys.com, also brought to you by Ford, the best in Texas. It's our buddy Mickey Spagnola. And Mickey, KT has deemed that the question of the day is Xavier Woods practicing and ready to go?
You know, I see him outside working on the resistance cords, so I would say no, he's not practicing.
Dang it!
Yeah, so that means all those guys that, you know, were not practicing so far this week are still not practicing on Friday.
You know, but as we talked about this, and at some point you have to go, okay, the Miami Dolphins have grown men that are playing football and not minimize everything they're doing.
Right.
But I think we've sort of at least resigned ourselves to the idea that this is an okay game for Xavier Woods to miss, and hopefully it looks very good that he would be back for New Orleans, right?
Well, it's encouraging because he's moving pretty well. Now, I haven't seen him, like, all out run, but working on the resistance cords and, you know, walking down the hallway, you know, he's not in a boot. And so I think that's encouraging. And they keep saying this could be shorter than longer. So, yeah, I think there would be some encouragement there that he's ready for the Saints. And, you know, I don't know about Michael Gallup because, remember, it's 2-4. And if it's 2 this week, next week, then maybe the following week he's ready to go at the earliest. So, yeah, but again, you know, when you always feel, and I heard Jerry say it with you guys, you know, he was talking about the defensive line, and he said we're deep with guys who can play. And, you know, that it's great to feel that way, but then you got to see it, right? And so we're going to see just what kind of depth this team has in the secondary, on the defensive line, at wide receiver. So yeah, depth is always good until you have to use it. And then the problem is you get one injury and then, well, now it's not next guy up, it's next guy up. And you start getting thin no matter who you're playing, even the Miami Dolphins.
All right. Are you hearing any whispers about a deal being finalized with Dak? Has there been any more chatter about that around the hallways?
No, there really hasn't. It's been kind of quiet. So yeah, I know you guys were trying to get a deal done today, right?
Yes.
Because it's Friday,
yes.
Right? Announce it. He should have announced it on the air with you.
That was the goal.
Yeah, right? So, yeah, no, I have not. And, you know, he doesn't seem consumed with it, and I guess that's a good thing from a team standpoint that it has not caused a distraction for him. And obviously it hasn't at the level he's been playing. So, yeah, I still think it's one of those things that can happen any time. And, you know, I hate to, you know, just kind of paraphrase what Jerry always says or Steven says, but, you know, it's not done until it's done, and then it can get done right away, you know, once you kind of hammer things out. So, you know, it's one of those things where close doesn't count in contract negotiations either.
You know, Mickey, the nature of how long a Tyrone Crawford has been dealing with, just for lack of a better term, nagging injury involving these hips.
Yeah.
It's really starting to freak me out a little bit because this has been going on for a long time, and now they're saying both hips are injured.
Yeah, and it has started as, you know, bursitis. And I don't know that there's a surgery to alleviate that. But you know, what concerns you is if it's been prolonged this long, is there something you can do and go in and take care of that? And then, you know, on the other side, someone would say, well, but you know, you got Robert Quinn coming back, and yeah, that's fine and good. But you know, Crawford was a, you know, kind of two-dimensional player. He can help you on the outside and he can help you inside. And so Quinn coming back, but he doesn't move inside. These other guys can. And then the other thing is you, until Quinn's ready to play 60 snaps or 50 snaps a game, however many they would want their starters to play, you know, he's going to need backup help, right? Well, DeMarcus Lawrence, I don't know that, you know, he's going to play more than 40 snaps or so. So you got to have somebody on that side too. So you get stretched a little thin. And like I said, we'll find out just how deep that depth is on the defensive line.
All right, Mickey, before we let you bounce, we got to get you on record. We're making everybody go on record. The current line is 22.5, right, guys? Is that where it's
23
sitting?
23.5.
Okay. It's moving up.
Yeah,
27.
They can't get anybody to take the under. So now we're at 23.5. So go on record. Are the Cowboys going to cover 23.5?
Okay, I had to throw a score out today, and I threw out you're going to help me with the math.
Yep.
Threw out 34-9.
That'll work.
Yeah.
They're going to cover.
Does that cover?
Yeah.
Because I do think it's going to slow down. Like the second half, it's going to be Cooper Rush, I would think. Right?
And I think it's going to be a lot of handoffs. I mean, if you get up. You know, that's the assumption everybody's making, right? And here's the deal on this thing. You just want to win this game, right?
Yeah.
You just want to win.
No injuries.
Make sure no injuries. And that's a win too, right? So it doesn't matter if you win 28-14 or 35-3. Just make sure you win and you don't do anything silly out there to cause the Dolphins to be able to say, you know what, I think we can hang in here. And when I look at how poorly they've played against the run, maybe just grind this thing out and just say, you know what, we're gonna cut down on any mistakes we can make. I'm just going to try to run right over them. Because the only thing I can remember is I think it was 1:24 left in the first half against New England, and the Patriots had just scored, and it was 13-0.
Right.
So that gives you a little bit of pause that, you know, yeah, this cakewalk might not be as big a cakewalk as we all think it is. I hate point spreads like that.
I know, it's tough to
because you know what, and then you can't win, because if you just win and you don't cover, then oh man, this offense isn't that good.
Yeah,
a quarterback, what's he doing?
Yeah,
he should have put 50 points on this team. So yeah, you got to be careful on that stuff.
All right, have a great weekend, Mickey.
I will. See ya.
There he goes, Mickey Spagnola. Okay, I'm so fascinated. I've been wanting to give you guys, I was excited about this topic, and I swear to God, there was a commercial about it that just aired in the background, because the University of Alabama, Birmingham, their game is being televised this weekend. Do you guys know the UAB mascot?
I absolutely do.
What is it?
It's a dragon.
Do you know why it's a dragon?
No, but I just know because they went away a few years ago. Their football team went away. Right?
Yeah.
And they came back. That's the only way I know this.
They're called the Blazers, Ben, and their mascot is a dragon breathing fire.
Oh, I didn't know they were the Blazers. I thought they were the dragon.
No.
The Blazers, yeah. Like the Trailblazers or like the sports Blazers?
I think it had, I don't know the story, but I think it has something to do with like a person associated with the program or something. I don't know the history of it.
Smoker.
Big time smoker. But their athletic director is a man named Mark Ingram.
Oh, running back.
Okay.
From the Ravens.
The great running back. Do you guys remember, I've said it on the air before, do you guys remember my favorite animal?
Your favorite
dragon?
Animal?
Close.
Is it close.
Kangaroo?
Komodo dragon?
Komodo dragon.
Oh, okay. Komodo dragon. Dragon's my go-to answer for favorite animal.
Why?
Well, because it's just badass, man. It's like a dinosaur that lives on an island.
That's your go-to? How often are you asked what your favorite animal is?
Well, a lot of people are asked and they say liger. I say Komodo dragon. It's always been my favorite animal.
I don't think I've ever been asked that.
And I think, pretty sure I did a book report on it in fifth or sixth grade. You know, those things stay with you.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Ingram had the brilliant idea of, why wouldn't we have a Komodo dragon out on the field? Like, let's
oh,
get...
Oh, really? During play?
Yeah, well, possibly, but if you remember the old movie, The Freshman, with Matthew Broderick and the Godfather dude.
Yeah.
The idea was that there was going to be this dinner with a rare Komodo dragon as the feast, so it's a rare animal anyways.
Endangered.
Not only that, the rumors about the Komodo dragon is that if it spits on you, it'll paralyze you, and then it'll eat children.
Is that true?
Whoa. Okay, wait. How?
That's why you like it.
They're not. They're about the size of a caiman, right? Like they're not a. They're not like large.
They're like alligator size.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're pretty long.
They get alligator sized?
Yeah, from the end. But see, keep in mind, a lot of that is the tail too, like an alligator. But you know, they have all four. Shippy, would you mind looking up average size of the Komodo dragon?
Oh, K-O-M-O-D-O.
So Ingram was really into this idea of why wouldn't we get a Komodo dragon out there on the field? Makes a lot of sense, right? And then he was told that the Komodo dragons will spit on children, then paralyze them, and then eat them. And he thought, well, that's kind of a bad idea. But then he was also like, man, that doesn't really sound like it makes a lot of sense. So he reached out. Do you guys know what a lizard expert is called?
A lizardologist?
It's called a herpetologist.
Really?
Yeah, once you become one of those, you can't get rid of that title
forever.
So anyways, the University of Georgia herpetologist says that is complete nonsense. It's complete and utter gibberish. I've heard some really stupid things or some things that have been misperceived or misunderstood about the nature of animals, including Komodos, but that's the dumbest thing that I've heard yet. However, they do have a very powerful bite, and their saliva does have venomous properties. So we always talk about this, like, why would certain creatures be out on the field during a football game? That would be pretty kick-ass if your mascot was a Komodo dragon. And you actually had a leash on it, because they're so stupid looking. They look like a giant iguana, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If you had a giant iguana out on the field.
I always thought they kind of looked like a manatee on land.
By the way.
God, I'm looking at pictures
of. They're 8.5 feet in length.
Yeah.
For a male, and a male can get between 170 and 200 pounds.
I thought they were just like a lizard size.
No, they're big.
Because the one in The Freshman was not large.
You can see one in Plano, actually.
What?
I used to see one all the time when I had to go buy worms for Derek's lizards.
Like in a creek or something?
No, it's in was a it, store.
Is it that golf course where you see that chupacabra?
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That Twin Creeks. God, they got chupas and Komodos.
I'm reading.
That's not exactly what I was reporting, but we can go with it.
All right.
There
have
been some incidents with humans, at least between 1974 and 2012.
Okay.
In a small sample size there. There were 24 reported attacks on humans, including an investigative journalist by the name of Phil Bronstein, who was the former husband of actress Sharon Stone.
What?
He was attacked.
By Sharon Stone?
In the L.A. Zoo.
That Komodo dragon uncrossed its legs?
A Komodo dragon in 2001.
What was he? He was like in the, he was in the tank with it, or what happened?
I don't know.
How did he get attacked by a Komodo dragon? They're real low to the ground.
Right.
It also,
at that store, there's a huge sign that's like, do not get close, don't put your hand in there, or anything like that. Don't touch the cage, none of that.
I didn't realize they were so big. This is maybe, should be my favorite animal.
They're
so
badass,
they get to 8
Ben.
To 9 feet, 200 yep. pounds, they can get up that big. And it does say here, according to the internet, that they have shark-like teeth and poisonous venom that can kill a person within hours.
They can move 12 miles an hour on land sprinting.
And that's after working out.
Yeah.
Good God. Okay,
it's
so why?
It's a pretty kick-ass beast.
They don't skip leg day.
It's kind of a land shark with poison. And so I don't understand why you'd need that on a football field.
Well, that kind of brings...
Guys, we're the Scorpions, so we're going to release 10,000 scorpions on the field of play to let you know we're serious about tackling you.
What a great pep rally.
School spirit, bro.
All these scorpions drop in from the sky. Go, Scorpions!
You kinda,
we're the brown recluses.
Well, doesn't LSU have a tiger that they have on the
field? They got a tiger. Yeah. I mean, I don't you think putting... I guess it's not Bevo anymore. Or is it Bevo now?
No, it's Devo.
Putting Bevo out there on the field seems kind of dangerous, too.
No, he's just going to poop.
What about Ralphie?
Wait, that happened. Didn't Bevo throw...
He went at Georgia. The Georgia Bulldog,
the
right?
Georgia English Bulldog, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, the cow kicked the dog's ass.
Could have gored him.
Yeah.
Got so, a Frank Gordon.
Anyways, I just really enjoyed that sports story. I hope you guys did, too.
It's a great sports story. And why do we keep forcing these mascots out on football fields?
I don't know, but how did we not get Mike Leach to weigh in the Conference USA mascots? I'd love to hear his take on the Dragons.
Oh, I mean, what about these schools that have, you know, a bear as their mascot? Do any of them roll a bear out there?
They should.
They absolutely they
should. I mean,
they
tranquilized, should. Obviously. But
that's one of the great scenes in the underrated Will Ferrell movie, Semi-Pro. That I need you guys to rewatch is
still
when,
never seen it.
When a part of the it's a minor league basketball team and a part of the halftime entertainment to kind of get attendance up and save his team and save the league, really. He wrestles a bear in a cage and the bear gets out and it's just really good.
We did that at a fan fest, didn't we? Didn't Kavanaugh wrestle something?
Kavanaugh rode an alligator and the alligator tried to tail whip him.
Oh man.
Yeah, there was one time he didn't
saw him. Yeah, Jeff's in the prep room right there.
It almost got him.
Tail whipped him, almost got him.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I hope you guys
alive still.
I hope you guys all get a chance to go see your herpetologist. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
Thanks, Jimmy. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Happy Football Friday, everybody. Glad to have you in the mix with us today. And we've been getting this from people. People have been like, well, you know, I enjoyed listening to you guys on my ride home from work, but I have trouble listening because I'm working during 10 to 2, which is why we created radio.com a long time ago. I guess we didn't create it. We just
got
them.
That was my invention.
We got them to be our streaming app. So you can go download the app for free, radio.com, and take us to work with you. That way you can listen all day while you're at work. All right, we've got to go back around the rest of the NFL games. We covered a lot of them earlier, but I do want to start with this Cowboys nugget for you. This is from Marcus Mosier. Through 2 weeks, the Cowboys have 17 explosive plays. That's rushes of 10-plus yards or receptions of 20-plus yards. Do you guys know who the number one team is in terms of explosive plays through 2 weeks?
I'm going to say it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's fair.
Chiefs.
You going with that, too?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what?
Maybe the Dolphins.
I was going to say, it could be the Dolphins.
Not self-exploding, like imploding.
Okay.
Those are imploding plays.
Is it the Rams?
It is not. Scan our football guy. Do you want to take another guess? Because the Chiefs are wrong, the Rams are wrong.
I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens.
That's correct!
Yeah.
That is correct. Cowboys are second place with 17. Oh. The Ravens have 28, and that's why that matchup between the Ravens and the Chiefs is your sure shot butt fart lock of the week.
Absolutely, Ben. And, you know, I just look at it this way. Here's the way I talk football, KT. Yeah. I go, okay, well, Baltimore put up a lot of points and they played the Dolphins, so surely they're in the mix. What you said, the low scoring Ram, I don't remember what you said, but
I haven't chosen my game yet.
I don't want to hear your logic. But that's really how a football expert steps up and delivers the gold, guys.
All right, let's move on now to the first matchup of the second round of matchups. Panthers at Cards. Pretty interesting numbers here. Last week, the Cardinals attempted 3 field goals from inside the 5-yard line while trailing in the game. That had never happened before. Kyler Murray, the second quarterback to throw for 300 yards in each of his first 2 games. This is also pretty interesting. He has just 1 drop pass in his 94 attempts. He has 2 passing scores on 94 passes. And he has the worst quarterback rating in all the NFL when under pressure.
Kyler does?
Yep.
He's going to be under pressure a lot.
This is going to be fun, and I'll tell you why, guys.
Tell me why.
Okay? And just bear with me here. So tomorrow at Boomer Jackson, Fort Worth, at the City View location, Chippy and I are going to have an A&M watch party.
Oh, yeah. So
2:30
promo.
To 4:30.
Got it.
Just come hang out with us there.
Sir.
This game, this Panthers-Cardinals game, is the Kevin Sumlin Bowl.
Oh.
Carolina Panthers quarterback Kyle Allen, who was beaten out by Kyler Murray.
Is he backing up
Cardinals?
Cam? They named Kyle Field after him, right?
It is Kyler Murray against Kyle Allen.
He's backing up Cam.
In Arizona, just an hour away from where Kevin Sumlin now coaches.
Oh,
it's all full circle for one of the worst games of the week.
I swear to God, I had no idea he was in the league.
Guys,
I had no idea he was in the league.
And the confusing stat of the week, I'm going to retract what I said about Kyler when under pressure.
Uh-huh.
That's inaccurate, what I just said. It was only a test to see if you guys would catch it.
Dump that, Shippy.
Here's what I meant to say. He has the 8th worst quarterback rating when not under pressure.
Oh, well, dude, he had a 36 quarterback rating in the first 3 quarters of his first game.
Right.
So, but he's got that thing where it's like, oh, it's go time. Crank it up. Let's go. Let's see if I can pull a game out my butt.
When you guys think of the Panthers, do you still kind of consider them a good team at all?
So when we went into the season, I had them as one of the 3 or 4 teams I was the most confused about. Didn't know what they were going to be. And after 2 weeks, I'm here to declare that they are nothing.
Okay. I would like you guys to now football guess. What do you think the Panthers' record is in their last 10 games?
5-5.
It's 3-7.
I was going to say 3-7.
It is 1-9.
Oh,
that's what I was.
I didn't watch All or Nothing. It got real depressing on that Amazon series this year when they lost every game.
They're falling apart. And, you know, and it's, I mean, they had a pretty good run, but God, Cam, it's a shame. Cam's not going to be the same guy. He's just been beat up way too much.
Kyle Allen did acknowledge that he and Kyler were never, quote, super tight. So there could be a little bit of tension here Sunday.
They couldn't bond over Sumlin having both of them and squandering it.
Yeah.
Well, he ended up getting none of them.
Yeah.
Guys, let's move on to the New York Giants of New York as they are going to play the Tampa Bay Bucks of Tampa Bay. Eli Manning, no longer the quarterback of the Giants. It's Daniel Jones time. You guys fired up to watch Daniel Jones?
Yeah, not really, but you know, I want him to exist. But I do want the Giants to go on a run because I just want to see how Francesa reacts.
He went to Duke.
I would love it if the Giants won 3 of their next 4, and then we could just occasionally tune in to see what Francesa's slobbering about.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the Giants ended up in that 6-10 territory so they don't have a great draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be good. This game's terribly unexciting, though. Well, I mean, I guess it is the debut of Daniel Jonas, like you said. Maybe it is.
I don't think that's his name.
Hey, he's one of the Joe Bros.
What is the, I don't even know. How's old Jameis working out these days, guys?
Ooh.
Is he having a Mariota season?
Jameis is up and down, and he will be up and down forever. You're never going to get a good, solid projection on Jameis.
This is the year, right? Isn't this the last year of the rookie deal?
Jameis's career is just a constant ride on Judge Roy's scream.
Is there a joke that I missed?
No, it's just one of the great Six Flags roller coaster references that I threw in there.
I really don't know. Jameis, this is the last year of his rookie deal, right?
I wasn't going to say the Titan because...
I just imagine Roy as a judge screaming when I ride that.
Yes, this is his 5th-year option, sir.
Right, so he's not going to be their quarterback moving forward. He's going to have to go out there and try to...
You don't know that.
Well, I just... Okay, but based on the way he's played, he's probably going to be playing for another team next year.
He might be good. He'll probably be good on Sunday.
Again, based on the way he's played, unless there's a shift, he's probably going to be out there.
Has he been the problem with that team?
I don't know. He got beat out by Fitzmagic last year.
They score points.
He got beat out by Fitzmagic last year.
But they score.
And then he couldn't get back on the field, and he was sucking his fingers in front of people. It was terrible.
Oh, that was so bad.
Round 1.
I bet you Jameis is a starting quarterback in the league next year for somebody.
That's exactly what I just said.
Then we're agreeing.
Okay.
Why are you fighting?
Yeah, Shippy.
Why are we fighting for?
The defense is a problem.
All right, next game. Texans at Chargers. Deshaun Watson, 159 yards passing last week and 5 yards on the ground. Not great. The only touchdown he produced was on a run. He's been sacked a league worst 10 times. He's 7 of 18 on play action. What the hell is going on with the Texans?
Okay, can you imagine how bad their line would be if they didn't get Tunsil in there? Lord have mercy. That was a 13-12 game last week.
Yeah.
That was not my sure shot butt fart game of the week. Just horrible. I still believe the nature of that division is that it's the Texans to lose now.
I do too. I agree.
Right? I mean, the Mishnu magic is going to wear off at some point.
Minshew.
Chargers receivers lead the NFL in dropped passes. They've dropped 6 passes, not helping out Phil Rivers.
Well, you know, the Chargers and Texans should be a game that I'm excited to watch because we are talking about teams who are likely going to make the playoffs. And I'm just kind of going, meh. And given that the Chargers lost to the Lions last week, I don't know. There's something about watching that offense is not as fun as it used to be. And
yeah,
I don't know. Guys, it's because Phil Rivers is so old, and I don't know.
We do have an update on KT's Sumlin Bowl at the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053. Don't forget Cliff was Sumlin's OC for a few years
as well.
Oh, it is madness.
Yes.
Oh,
man.
The madness.
I'm going to watch football.
Same. Next game. Saints at Seahawks. Obviously, Drew Brees is going to be out for a while with a torn thumb ligament. He could miss up to 6 weeks as he recovers from surgery on that thumb. So Teddy Bridgewater takes over as quarterback. And again, I don't know if I ever went this far. But the idea that at my lowest points of not believing in Dak, I think I may have kicked around the idea that, hey,
bro,
let's go get Teddy Bridgewater, pay him nothing, and... Good God!
Okay.
Sorry, everyone.
Happens to everybody.
Sorry,
but to support where you were at that time, I think Teddy's the highest paid backup in the league, isn't he?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Now he was 17 for 30 last week.
It's not a very good offense.
Well, I will say this: given the fact that the Seahawks, are 1-1. Are they 2-0? They win both.
They're 2-0. Okay. They beat 2-0. Pittsburgh, and they won.
Saints are 1-1.
Yep.
I would like to nominate this as the KT Fun Tweets Fun Game of the Week.
Oh!
And here's why.
You see that coming, Shippy?
I didn't.
No one
did.
So
we all think Teddy Bridgewater is your starting quarterback for the Saints, right?
That's what you think.
And he will be starting.
Yeah. This Taysom Hill nugget?
I think Taysom Hill is going to get about 20 throws in this game.
What? 20 throws?
I think they're going to let him play.
They're going to just occasionally put him in for the throw play?
No, and the run play. You never know. I think they're going to let him play.
And punt?
I think internally in New Orleans, they're asking themselves, is Taysom Hill a better player than Teddy Bridgewater right now?
Right.
Now, it's going to be loud in Seattle. It's the home opener for the Seahawks.
They have the 12th man, Kevin.
They have the 12th man. They'll probably have, you know, Lil Jon up there getting everyone hype. Raise the whole flag. You know, they'll probably do that whole thing. Yeah! And then...
Okay!
And then, you know... Teddy's going to be like, I can't hear the play call. And Sean Payton's like, God, I love this Taysom Hill guy. He's my guy. I love him. Taysom Hill's going to play a lot.
Russell Wilson went for 303 last week. In his past 6 games at home, 12 passing scores, just 2 interceptions, and a 6-0 record. But he's going against a pretty badass pass rush. The Saints, according to Pro Football Focus, have the best pass rush in all of football through 2 weeks.
I knew they were good. I didn't realize they were that good. Russell Wilson just continues to be top of the top. He's a badass. And I don't know that they have enough to, like, do damage in the playoffs, but they always have enough to make the playoffs as the wild card and then, you know, get in. So that's what you want when your team is not where it's supposed to be. You just want a fighting chance.
Makes me so unhappy that a guy like DK Metcalf would slide all the way to the back end of the second round and a team like the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Kind of a squirrely team historically, you know?
I don't know what
they
that means.
They kind of win games in weird ways.
Okay.
And Russell throwing off his back foot. And I don't know.
All
right. It just bothers me that DK plays for them because he's going to be good.
Next game, Steelers at 49ers. Folks, this is the beginning of the Mason Rudolph era as Ben Roethlisberger is Dunsky.
That's my big surprise that the Niners are 2-0.
Yeah.
The Niners and the Bills have a chance to be 3-0 after 3 weeks.
They better be.
If we live in an alternate universe where the Bills... and the 49ers are 3-0, and the Steelers are 0-3. We're going to be asking ourselves in a mirror, guys, what the hell's going on?
I'll tell you what, Bills Niners was not my preseason Super Bowl prediction.
Berman's was. That was
guys,
Berman's pick.
This next game is my sure shot. Fun, fartiest, spectacular outing of footballing of the week.
Yep.
And that is the Rams at the Browns.
Whoa. Oh, good pick, man.
See that coming.
Way better than KT's.
Yeah, thank you. I agree.
Real quick, I'd just like to announce the 49ers Steelers is my fun maybe game, but also might not be, depending on how Mason Rudolph plays game of the week.
That's
I'm gonna tweet
fair.
That out.
That's okay. I'll have to write that down and see if I can tweet that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys looking forward to this?
Let's put a wager on it. Whoever has the closest game, whoever has the most fun game wins.
I like that because then you got to defend your game and talk about what was the most fun aspect of. Okay,
all right, come on, Steve.
All right, so we all have our game.
Yeah, whoever loses has to get a dong tattoo.
I don't have any space for any more.
Yeah, me neither.
And it's not that I'm running out of space; it's just that a lot of tattoos.
Got a full sleeve.
Dong sleeve.
Full sleeve.
It's like, I don't have room for Jay Leno. His chin's too
big. Guys, final game. Bears at Redskins. Anyone touching that for their fun fartiest game?
I'm actually not going to watch it or pretend that it didn't happen.
I still want maybe rehash that on Monday.
Okay,
maybe
I think that Bears will score 10.
What happened to Trubisky?
He's not that good. Coming up next on the Ben and Skin Show, we're going to talk to Brian Broaddus, and he's going to give us some reasons why we should take the Dolphins a little more seriously. That's next on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.